continuing with guests from Norway month. Today's guest is, last week we had the City of Santa Barbara project planner, Rosie Deisty. Do you know her?
I do not know her. No.
Well, we're going to have to hook you up with her. Her grandparents were from Norway.
Okay.
And as I recall, today's guest, Bjørn Kollerud, your dad was born in Norway.
Exactly, yeah. It's a good memory there. You actually pronounced my name perfectly, too, which does not happen very often.
Well, that's because I have cheat sheets.
Okay.
B-E-E-Y-O-R-N.
Exactly.
Call a rude.
Perfect.
R-U-D-E. And I need the same thing for your boss, Robert Niehaus, to make sure I was pronouncing the second vowel. Is your dad, is he in Norway or where is he now?
He's in the States. So he came over on a skiing scholarship to the University of Utah, and then he ended up meeting my mom. She's an American. And then he's been here ever since.
Living, well, so. I got a surprise for you. He's in the studio. He's coming in now to join us. What is the name of that TV show? This Is Your Life. And you're going to meet your real mother. No, kidding. So
this took a turn for the strange, huh?
So Bjorn is an economist with RDN. What is RDN, and what do you do for them, and why did you end up analyzing the Montecito debris flow?
Sure, thanks. So thanks for having me, first of all. RDN, as we're more commonly known in the community, Robert D. Niehaus, Inc., we are an economic consulting company based right here in town. We specialize in regional and natural resource economic analysis, typically for different government clients. We're contracted out to do various types of economic analysis. But occasionally we do some kind of industry reports. So after the debris flow happened a couple years back, we obviously are part of the community, and it was a very tragic event that happened, and we wanted to take a look and kind of see what had been happening in the year since. So we do these industry reports every once in a while, and we came out with one year after the debris flow, checking in and kind of seeing, taking a look at the sales market as well as the rental market and looking at rebuilding efforts. And so when we took a look at that first one, we kind of released these reports as just kind of a public good. And so they're just funded by our company and weren't for any client, but just released them so the public can take a look and learn more about what had been happening since the debris flow. So
I remember you were on last year. You discussed that. I remember the rents. That was a big topic. And the rebuilding, of course, it was just at the beginning. How long after the debris flow did you do your first study? Was it almost a year?
It was 1 year after.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was 1 year after. So, yeah, we were seeing some recovery at that point, and we had started to dig into this building permit data to kind of assess the rebuilding efforts. But at that point, we didn't have access to kind of enough of the data to take as deep of a look as we wanted. So what we did this year is we followed up again, and we took a deeper dive into that building permit data to kind of get a more of an idea of the speed of recovery. So we kind of took a closer look at all of the different projects that were going on, and we wanted to understand and analyze how fast the recovery was happening and where the recovery still needed to continue happening.
Okay. So economist Bjørn Kollerud with RDN is we're going to discuss and recap the 2 years later residential rebuilding efforts since the Montecito debris flow. I, of course, have been tracking it quite closely in sales.
Yeah, I was going to
ask
you.
Huge recovery.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I don't have the after the next segment, I'll grab that sheet from last week where I can, but big rebound in number of sales. Huge rebound.
I think last time we spoke, it was kind of at the beginning of the recovery, it seemed like. Things were starting to get back a little bit to normal, but not quite. So I'm interested to hear about your perspective from the sales side. We didn't look into that in this report, so it's good to have that perspective from you.
Good.
As well.
Yeah, no, happy to sell you that information. So, no, I shouldn't say that because you did this gratis for the community.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I'd be happy to share everything I have and take it for free like everybody else. So, what I found interesting was you started the report about 600 structures were impacted, roughly. And so then you have it separated out into green, yellow, and red, and you'll describe what that is. But interestingly, I mean, it's not precise, but one of them, maybe yellow, was 33%. Another one was 29%, another one was 38%. So it was, evenly distributed just by coincidence.
Yeah.
But tell us what the green, yellow, and red means, and I'm trying to think which was the 38%. That's green.
Exactly, yeah. So this was initial inspection status. So we took that data from the county website, and after they had done their initial inspections, they classified properties as either green, yellow, or red. So green was good to go, cleared for living. Red was deemed uninhabitable, and yellow properties were deemed okay for restricted use. So at that point, that kind of gave the list of properties that had damage. And then so what we did was take a closer look at those yellow and red tags properties. So we took those parcel numbers. There were 285 of them, and those were the ones that we identified as damaged and then have been keeping an eye on in the first report and then subsequently in this most recent report.
285 of the 600.
So that's parcels. So those are 600 structures, but that encompassed 285 parcels. There were some parcels that had multiple properties on them, for example.
Okay, so those are 285 parcels.
Yeah, so the 600 structures were spread out across different parcels, and then 285 of those parcels were deemed either yellow or red after that initial inspection. So that's where we focused our efforts.
And the red is uninhabitable.
Exactly, yep. And yellow was restricted use.
So maybe requiring remodeling or restricted use, does that mean inhabitable, that you could?
So it could mean that they just needed to clear mud off the property. It also could have meant that the structures themselves were unsafe. So there's quite a wide range of kind of projects that need to be taken place before they would get back to that green status. So what we did was look into the building permit data, because in that you can see if there have been any demolition or repairs done to the property, but people did not need a permit to just simply clear mud off the property. So it was important for us to keep an eye again and see if any parcels had changed status to green without having done any permitting activity, which we saw quite a few cases of. So presumably they were just clearing mud off the property was the most likely scenario.
And that's nice. And it's nice to see that it's a significant percentage.
Exactly.
So people were, you know, so kind of optimistic.
Yeah.
Moving along quickly.
Sure, yeah.
Okay, so you got this report. I think it was it printed in the paper, or how was it distributed?
We publicly released it on our website first. We have an interactive HTML version on the site, as well as a PDF copy that we're looking at now. And then we sent it out to some contacts in the media, and it got picked up by a few. I think it was maybe the Montecito Journal who published it entirely. There's right up a little bit in the Santa Barbara News Press, and some various other outlets had covered it to a certain degree.
Right.
But typically,
right,
we host these industry reports on our website for the public to see.
And what is the website?
The website is rdniehaus.com. rdniehaus.com.
H-A-U-S.
Yeah.
Niehaus.
Niehaus.
rdniehaus.com. N-I-E-H-A-U-S. rdniehaus.com. And or if you Google RDN, you'll probably find
Google
the website.
Yeah, Robert D. Niehaus, Economics Santa Barbara should come right up.
And it's not, you know, I'm looking at it. I printed a 9-page report. It's not crazy, and it's something that you could definitely pick up a lot of kernels. You're an economist with RDN, and was this, were you the guy in charge of this?
I spearheaded the effort. It was obviously a team effort, but I wrote quite a bit of this, and we had some other part of the team. We collected the data in-house, and then we wrote the paper in-house. I was the main author, and then we had obviously some help and review from
Well, to continue the Oscars, would anyone you'd like to thank?
Exactly.
So the 285 parcels were yellow or green, and without even looking at the study, what would you say, having done both studies, and now we're 2 years after the Montecito debris flow, just without stats per se, what's your takeaway? Like, how would you, if casually describing it to someone like Richard, who has limited, sorry.
So I would say that After the first year report, we took a look at the map of red, yellow, and green structures, and it looked like most of the structures had turned to green after 1 year out. So, you know, our initial take was that looks like recovery is, you know, coming along pretty fast, and a lot of these projects have been completed. But what we kind of learned when we dig deeper into the building permit data was that that really wasn't indicative of how far along the projects had come. That was just this county inspection status. So even though you see these maps where most of the properties and parcels have been cleared to be inhabitable, a lot of the projects aren't done, and they still have outstanding work that needs to be done. So I would say we're still quite early in the recovery process. If we look at the timeline that we've estimated, we have taken a look at all the projects that have been completed. And I think what was most surprising for me was seeing the number of parcels that have had no activity. So there's about 130 parcels that have had no permitting activity, and they still have either a red or yellow tag as of today, or as of when we collected the data a few months ago. So we found that quite interesting that we kind of expected to look into the data and then be able to have some really clear answers and have a clear solution. But I think what was really interesting was that there were a lot of missing cases, a lot of parcels where no permits have been issued and nothing has been happening. So
and you say out of the 600 parcels, 135.
So 285 parcels were initially yellow or red, and so 130 of those have had no permitting activity since. And
they're still 130 of the 285.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, that's, you know, almost.
Well, that is a huge. That's a third of the 285.
Yeah. So that was quite a confounding thing for us, because we thought we were going to, you know, jump in and see at least, you know, all the parcels have started work, and we could estimate how much time it's going to take to complete, but we found a lot of missing parcels in there. So what we did was just assume that each of the parcels that was missing is still going to have to undergo a demolition and a repair project. So we used that as our basis to estimate the timeline for recovery. So,
and I wonder, out of the 130, I wonder if the majority of those are red.
It's a good question. They were quite mixed. I didn't see one way or another. They were both. Typically, the red category, the red label was associated with like 60 to 100% damage, whereas the yellow label was 10 to 60%. That was kind of the most common.
So you think there'd be more. Now, when you're color coding these, it's not to be confused with. The county has certain designations, like red zones?
It's different from the red zone. The red zone is the area where that debris flow was happening. The red zone is this kind of high-risk area for debris flow. But this was coming in directly from the county. So this is just the county inspection. So we took that initial first list of inspections, and that was led to 285 parcels that were either yellow or red. And then the updated figures are also from the county. So there's on the county website, you can check this for yourself, and you can see all the parcels that have been categorized one way or another, red, yellow, or green.
My guest is Bjorn Kollerud. He's an economist with RDN, Robert D. Niehaus. And you can go online and see the Montecito Debris Flow Report, rdniehaus.com, or just Google RDN. R.D. Niehaus, N-I-E-H-A-U-S. And it's interesting to me that periodically I will see agents sending out mass emails saying they have a client looking for a property in the red zone. And I wonder how many properties in the red zone have been sold by the original owners just because they didn't want to deal with it. And I'm not sure who these developers are and what their plan is.
Yeah, that's interesting. I haven't heard anything about that. We looked into the sales market the first report, and we were hearing anecdotally, of course, but when we were speaking to people, it didn't seem like too many people had relocated out of the state or anything, but there's definitely some interesting market dynamics happening.
You know, I know that there's a lot of wealthy people that live in Santa Barbara, Montecito, Hope Ranch, and maybe predominantly Montecito. And a lot of times these homes were second homes and maybe even third homes mm-hmm. for some people. But not to diminish the fact that that wasn't the case for many people. And it was their primary home, and maybe they bought it such a long time ago that they weren't, quote, Montecito money.
Exactly, yeah.
They just happened to buy a long time ago. They got lucky. They're there. Their tax base is low. And that was all they had. Mm-hmm. So, sadly, one of those people who I remember lost her life. And yeah. She was certainly not, that was her only home.
Right. Yeah. I think you bring up a good point, too, about this second home delineation. That could be driving these results to a certain degree. If we think about you're probably less motivated to get the recovery process going if it's a second home. So there's probably a little bit more fire under you if you are.
Just the mechanics and the contractors and the labor to make this happen, and the engineers and the architects. Everybody's so booked that maybe some of these people are just laying back.
Yeah, exactly. And so when we did look into that building permit data, we were able to extract the cost estimate from each project, and there's over $30 million of costs that are in projects that are currently in the system, either in progress or have been completed so far.
And $30 million represents what?
So when you submit the permit application, then the contractor submits their cost estimate for what that project is going to cost. So that represents $30 million of project costs. So in project costs in demolitions and repairs
and you know what? Projects. We'll take a break. When we come back, I remember reading in the report something about contractors and estimates.
Exactly.
And a little distinction that we'll talk about when we return. You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, RadioRealEstate.com. My guest is economist Bjorn Kollerud, and he works for RDN, Robert D. Niehaus. And just Google RDN. You could find the report online. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.